Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for KER Politics. Boy, what a week this has been. This has been a good week for Big Al to be locked up inside his house, not because of the COVID, but because of the really, really, I would have to say, terrible weather. I mean, it's terrible if you like 18 degrees and snow and ice. It's not terrible, but that's what we've had, and it's kept me in the house virtually all week. So I have been Mr. Observant of everything that's going on politically this week. Let's start out. Got Jimmy with me, obviously. Jimmy, let's talk about Biden's speech down in Atlanta. Now, he got some terrible reviews from people who normally are kind of switching over to his point. Peggy Noonan in the Wall Street Journal said Biden's Georgia speech is a break point. And Mark Lewis in the Daily Beast said Joe Biden was forced to be less divisive than Trump and he's failing miserably at it. I watched the speech. I kind of watched a lot of the fallout that came from the speech on the various networks. Nobody said that Joe Biden did a good job. The guy came up, basically they wanted to change the way, the purpose of the speech was for Biden and the Democrats to change the way the voting was carried on in the United States, specifically the way that the votes were counted. And you know what? Thank the Lord it didn't work. Comments from you, Jimmy?
Joe Biden has had a very, very bad week. And this speech yesterday really just kind of put the nail into the coffin of the week of absolute failure after failure after failure. Well, I will say the Supreme Court breaking down his mandate actually hurt him quite a bit as well later in the day. But the big issue with the speech, Joe Biden, the entire speech was very loud, very aggressive, and yep, basically splitting the country, dividing the country into two groups, calling those people that do not support the Democratic agenda to basically to stop in the use of states using voter ID, mm-hmm, of allowing mail-in ballots, allowing vote harvesting, basically taking control, federal control of all of state responsibilities for voting. And he says he actually made the comment, the ridiculous comment, that if you supported that, you were not on the side of Lincoln, you were on the side of Jefferson Davis.
Ridiculous. Totally ridiculous, Jimmy.
Well, and here's what's really bad about this. And what amazes me that their advisors, like, you know, Joe Biden is not writing these speeches. He has policymakers and advisors that, mm-hmm, are writing these speeches for him. He's repeating them. And somebody said, hey, be aggressive, be strong. It's almost like they were trying to undermine his credibility, because the reality is over 70% of the electorate supports voter ID. So to come out and make that statement, he's trying to either shift somebody's mental views or hoping that, in fact, that would give some leverage. But more importantly, it's really creating an absolutely ridiculous argument for the Democrats coming into the 2020 election. And I think, right, I think it's really, really just bad policy and bad decision making on whoever's advising him.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think there's any question about that. I think that actually, I don't know how this is going to fare for the 24 election. I hope it hurts the Democrats really badly, because what they're trying to do really, really is take over the country. But I suppose that's what every party is trying to do in every election. But they're going about it right now in a way that I think is incredibly detrimental to the country. To change the way that voting is done, from taking it from the state level to the federal level, is absolutely ridiculous. The comments that he made, that I'm just going to repeat some of the things that you said, Jimmy, the comments that he made about comparing a person to a Jefferson Davis supporter versus a Abraham Lincoln supporter, talking about Jim Crow, bringing the Jim Crow concept into the speech as many times as he did absolutely nothing but hurt. I think I would be amazed, quite frankly, if Biden even ran for the presidency for a second term. I don't think that's going to happen. I want to get into that in the next segment because I want to talk a little bit about Kamala Harris, who also looked very, very bad this week. I am even more amazed today, Jimmy, at the fact that the Democrats, when I say the Democrats, let me say the handlers, really got Joe Biden in there as a candidate for president and Kamala Harris as a candidate for vice president. I am amazed. They had so many, in my opinion, stronger people that had a lot more common sense than these guys. Maybe they just couldn't be controlled. Maybe that was the reason they were not given the nod. Do you have any comments on that?
Well, the entire Democratic ticket, the primary ticket in 2020 that went before the convention, you had people like Pete Buttigieg.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. Buttigieg is ridiculous.
And he's just incompetent as transportation secretary right now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You had Elizabeth Warren, who's far, far to the left and would not be supported by either, minority groups or just middle American Democrats. You had, she's definitely a progressive, and she's also quite bitter person. You had Bernie Sanders, who is an old admitted socialist,
right?
Who actually runs as an independent, but as a socialist. Those are the key leaders. And then you had people like Kamala Harris, who didn't make it through the California primary with, I think 7% of the vote or something like that. Ridiculous.
Right.
You had Cory Booker, who, out very early. I really don't think they had another candidate that would be strong enough in the minority communities that the Democrats depend on in dense urban areas. And I don't think they had a candidate that actually had the appearance or the history of being a moderate Democrat. And that's what Joe Biden was supposed to be. The moderate Democrat that would put balance back in, take away the animosity from Trump, and stop from dividing us. And what dividing America? Because the argument from the Democrats that Trump was dividing America, of course, was based on Democratic principles, on Democratic policies, on Democratic propaganda efforts supported by the media. So they thought that the leaders inside the Democratic Party, the key players in the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, as well as the big ticket funders, believed that they could control Joe Biden and they could get him through on this fraudulent position of being a moderate. Now he's completely showing his hand that he's really not competent. And then you've got Kamala Harris, who goes on TV for morning show, I think it's Good Morning or the Today Show, and absolutely embarrasses herself without able to answer questions. It's terrible. This is terrible. They're in charge of this, the most powerful nation in the world.
Right after the commercial break, Jimmy, we don't have to break quite yet. We're getting pretty close, though. But I will say right after the commercial break, I very, very definitely want to talk about the situation with Kamala Harris. I watched her in numerous interviews this past week, and no, she looks very, very bad. I don't want to talk about her body language. I just have to say her facial expressions look incredibly, incredibly bad. I think she has just about given up the ghost of being the first female or the first black president of the United States. I think she realizes it's not going to happen. I'm starting to think, quite frankly, that when you look at all of the, when you look at Schumer and when you look at Pelosi, etc., I think that they are starting to understand that somebody made a huge, huge mistake in terms of the Biden-Harris ticket. Jimmy, got to take a real quick commercial break. Let's do that real fast. Ladies and gentlemen, back in 30 seconds. Stick around.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. going to chat a little bit about not only Joe Biden, but we're going to chat a little bit about what happened this past week with the Vice President Kamala Harris. I actually feel sorry for Kamala Harris, and the reason I'm saying that, I do not support her. I haven't supported her in her current political position since the election. But let me say right now, she looked very, very badly this week, and I have to believe that she's looking badly because she's kind of given up the ghost, for lack of better terms. She had an African-American who was in supposedly a friendly softball interview with her. He unfortunately probed a little deeper. He probed about what was going on in terms of why hadn't she been to the border, et cetera, et cetera. And I found it to be very interesting that her response was absolutely ridiculous. Well, no, I haven't been to the southern border. Well, isn't that what you were instructed to do by the President of the United States? And she also said, well, I've never been to Europe either. I mean, those are answers that are totally, totally irrelevant. Jimmy, you want to talk a little bit about your opinion about what's going on with Harris right now? I think she knows that the Democratic Party is starting to giving up the ghost, bud.
Well, she certainly knows they're giving up on her. Yeah. One of the questions that the interviewer asked on the Today Show was, you know, what did she think about, you know, running in 2024, and what were the possibilities of even a Biden change?
Yeah.
Yeah. And she could not actually, she had no answer, no comeback.
No.
That was really, really telling. What it means is that she understands that people around her and people in the party are no longer supporting her. Mm-hmm. And it means the White House is not supporting her. So now they're just trying to figure out ways that she can continue. I mean, they've actually hired a PR company to help build her credibility. Mm-hmm. At the same time, she's having numerous staff members leave her her administration or her office because of infighting and because of bad policy. They don't want to be associated with her. And of course, apparently she's quite obnoxious, or at least pretty mean to her staff. This is
I think she's pretty scared, quite frankly. I think it's a combination. I think her emotions right now are 50% fear, which is being transferred over into 50% anger. I don't think there's any question about it. I think she realizes that she is definitely the wrong person for the job. I think going into the election, she thought perhaps that she had a shot to make it work, and now I think she realizes that she cannot make it work right now. Any comments, Jimmy?
Well, I think her ego is quite strong. But here's something that I think is a little bit deeper look into the entire Washington, D.C. political apparatus. And it's not left or right. It's really the quality of candidates that go up and actually represent the people of the United States. And here's the problem. There is a lot of fraud that goes into these elections. It's about how much money you can make, how much support you get from the system, not from the people. And then with the media, how the media will support you. And what the Democrats have, the advantage that they have, is most 90% of the mainstream media are owned by these corporate entities that want to have an administration that will appease their requirements and their needs. And so what you have is this entire facade, a complete fake front of professionalism that actually has people that are incompetent rising to the top. And what I think happened with Kamala Harris was there were people, and again, one of the key people on the committee to select a vice presidential candidate for Joe Biden was actually Alexander Soros, George Soros' son. So that's a very telling statement. They wanted people they can own. And you know from Kamala Harris's history with Willie Brown in San Francisco and in California that she was willing to do anything to get to the top. So what you have is an entire fraud and a facade, but she was the most competent that would meet the requirement that Joe Biden's team had put in on a vice presidential candidate, which was a black woman. And the unfortunate reality is she wasn't the best one. There's plenty of women out there, Candace Owens, there's plenty of smart black women out there that are doing a phenomenal job in getting the word across. And even in the Democratic Party, But they thought that they, because of name recognition, she would go forward and be able to do something for him. And I truly believe that everybody expected Joe Biden to be out in a very short period of time and Kamala Harris would be the president.
Right.
And that would be able to actually drive the 2024 election, first black woman president and incumbent. But that entire plan is falling apart, as is Joe Biden's policies and right. his presence in front of people. And as that collapses, they're facing some very difficult challenges.
Mm-hmm. Let me bring up one point that I think is pretty interesting. You know that I like to read The Bulwark, and I know that you think it really is not a good thing necessarily to read because it seems to be pretty slanted in your opinion.
I just want to comment on that.
Sure.
The Bulwark is run by Bill Kristol. Bill Kristol is an avid neocon and anti-Trumper. And, of course, he's doing whatever he can to influence inside the Beltway in D.C. That's my position on it. But I do want to say I appreciate reading anything and across the board of all kinds of left, right.
Right. I know you do, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
here, let me just read this.
Go ahead.
Let me just read this real quick. I think there's a lot of angst out there about the Democrats, said Charlie Sykes, founder and editor-at-large of The Bulwark, which has become a congregating ground for anti-Trumpers, anti-Trump commentators and anti-Trump activists. This is with the last comment that Charlie Sykes made in this particular issue of Bulwark. He said, this past week demonstrated how he... Joe Biden has lived up to that promise. In particular, his speech in Atlanta served as a microcosm for a disappointing year of leadership that has cratered his popularity. I find that to be a really interesting interesting comment from Charlie Sykes. I don't know much about Bill Kristol. He doesn't get very much publicity right now in The Bulwark. It's primarily Charlie Sykes and some other guys. Got about a minute here. You want to wrap up our little discussion about Kamala Harris, Jim?
Sure. And I do think that just commenting on that point, on the an overall performance of the administration, and, you know, Kamala Harris is a big part of it. One of the key elements early on was when Joe Biden appointed her to be responsible for border control. She hasn't been to the border. It's been a total disaster.
Right.
And it continues to be a disaster. And it's continuing to really bring a lot of concern for many people on, especially Hispanics on the southern border.
Mm-hmm.
And they're losing a lot of numbers that way. So I think that, you know, that is one element she's failed on, and everything else so far has been looked really pretty ugly for her when she's in public opinion and public out there in out trying to reshape her personality.
Well, I got to tell you one thing. I think a lot of people don't give the Mexicans enough credit. They are very hardworking, and they could be considered to be a very bright race. They are very disappointed in Kamala Harris. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment. Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in back to KER Politics. We're talking about the filibuster situation which went on this past week. Apparently both Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer really tried to pull some shenanigans, but it didn't work. Jimmy, tell us about it.
Well, I would say that it didn't work in some respects, but I think there's a much deeper political story going on underneath. So we know the filibuster argument is in order to get – the Democrats are pushing to withdraw the filibuster in order to get their voting rights bill through that we talked about, this whatever freedom vote, ridiculous arguments that were basically a lot of false statements. But what happened in the actual like machinations of the House and then the Senate is really, really interesting. Nancy Pelosi pulled language out of a NASA funding bill, included Joe Manchin's voting rights recommendation bill in order to get it through the House on a partisan vote. So that vote went forward. Chuck Schumer put it up for the Senate for a vote. Now, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi both knew that they were not going to get a vote because the filibuster was going to stay intact because Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin have made it very clear they're not going to drop the filibuster.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, why did Chuck Schumer allow a vote that they were that they knew was going to fail on this voting rights bill? Why did they let that go forward? And I'll tell you, my perception of the political angle here is they're trying to rile up the progressive left and protect their position with the progressive left by pretending that they're doing something even though they knew it wouldn't work. My guess is that Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi down deep really don't want the filibuster to be gone because, oh, by the way, if Republicans win the Senate back in November of this year, then they could push through all kinds of things. They put the House and the Senate through back in Republican hands.
We're looking at one vote to get the control of the Senate back.
Yes, one, and there's a lot of Democratic senators that are going to be in close races.
Yep.
This coming up November. Mark Kelly from Arizona will be one of them. There's some Republicans that are going to be facing some pushback too because of their positions, like Lisa Murkowski in Alaska. A number of people that really are going to face the music in the primaries as well as in the November election because of the failures of the Biden administration and Democratic policies.
Well, I think it's going to be a very interesting election coming up. I want to save that particular topic for the fourth segment, though, because I've got a lot of things to say about that, as I'm sure you do also. It's interesting. Go ahead, Jimmy. Sorry. Go ahead, Matt.
No, say, Al, and I did want to... So there's another game that was going on in the Senate, and it's been very interesting. Okay, so I will go a little bit further because I just want to kind of flesh out this the underlying politics so people get a different view of maybe what's happening out there. So with the filibuster, Tom Cotton did a very effective speech where he stood up, he gave this speech and talked about the actual potential of trying to authoritarian control and the fact that one political party would try to put themselves in power if they did this. And at the end of the speech, he said, "These are not my words. These are Chuck Schumer's words," and put a picture of Chuck Schumer up on the Senate floor.
Mm-hmm.
He actually read a previous speech from Chuck Schumer on destroying the filibuster. So, again, they knew that something was not going to work here, that they weren't going to get it. And probably there's many Democrats that are relieved that it didn't because they see the outcome. But here's the other game that was going on. So if you remember last week, Ted Cruz was called out very strongly for being a proponent of allowing the Nord Stream 2 pipeline in Europe from Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the argument, or people were screaming because, hey, look, you're kowtowing to the big oil, big interests, big energy interests out there. Well, and then you had Ted Cruz just a couple of days later in a public statement on January 6th, the beginning of this week, call people that were involved in the protests on January 6th domestic terrorists. And he was called out on that. Tucker Carlson was very, very astute and very pushy to say, hey, look, I know you're a smart guy. You use that word very carefully. You are very careful what you say. Why did you do it? And Ted Cruz came back and he said it made a mistake. Well, there was another game that most people probably don't know happened yesterday. There's a little bit of reporting on it. But Ted Cruz put together a bill to stop the Nord Stream 2 pipeline in the Senate. Now, this is the real irony. It was bipartisan. There was one Republican that wasn't going to vote for it, and that was Rand Paul.
Mm-hmm.
All 49 other Republicans were voting for it, and six Democrats that are in very close races were actually standing up to support this bill that would stop the Russian pipeline into Western Europe, or at least stop the U.S. support of it. Now, guess what the Senate Democrats had to do to stop that bipartisan bill from going forward? They had to use the filibuster. Ted Cruz made a masterful political move yesterday while this vote was about to go on the filibuster by forcing the Democrats to use the filibuster to stop a bipartisan bill that actually was going to stop Russian aggression, which the Biden administration right now is saying they expect the Russians to invade Ukraine with a false flag operation. So brilliant move by Ted Cruz. A lot of underlying politics, but I'll tell you one other piece of it that I think is really interesting. Ted Cruz was very smart about it because it also diverted his mistakes from supporting the big oil companies last week, as well as making the comments on domestic terrorists. So, he was making a lot of very, very capable political moves.
Mm-hmm. Well, I personally want to get into this also into the next segment. I want to look at some of the cast of characters for the election coming up in 2024. I certainly think Ted Cruz is going to be there in spades, for lack of better terms. Jim, we've got about a minute left here before we have to take another commercial break. You have anything you want to say?
Yeah, I think, just continuing on this assessment of this week with the Biden administration, the Biden regime, they are failing at their public relations. They failed with the Supreme Court on the vaccine mandate for companies over 100 people. Mm-hmm. They actually, the Supreme Court backed off and did not stay the order, making the Sixth Circuit go back and take a look at this vaccine mandates for healthcare workers, which was a mixed, kind of a split decision.
Yep.
There's a lot of things that are happening that really, really slammed the Biden administration badly this week. And I just want to reiterate what I've said previously. It is not going to get better for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. He is not going to get more support. He is going to face some very difficult challenges in the next week.
I happen to agree with you 1,000%. I think the next 2 years are not going to be pleasant for either Biden or Harris, but I guess time will very definitely tell on that one. Okay, Jimmy and I are going to be right back to wrap up KER Politics. Hey, welcome back. Time to wrap up KER Politics. We've got a very big election coming up, very important, in my opinion, to the future of our country, this election. I think the election in 22 this year is going to be a harbinger, for lack of better things to come. But I think the really, really big election will be the major one in 24. And if I were a betting man, which I'm not a gambler, but I will take a bet now and then, I think the Republicans are going to come back in spades, for lack of better terms. I think they're going to win the presidency. And I would suggest that in this next election, they will probably pick up the one vote that they need to pick up control of the Senate. What do you think, Jim?
So my biggest concern, and I think, I was pretty optimistic that Trump would be successful in 2020. And it's, really the jury is still out on what happened with 2020. There's got to be a lot more information that comes out. And there will be more information mm-hmm. that comes out on some of these fraudulent efforts. There's more and more things that are coming out in Wisconsin, in Georgia, in Arizona, in Pennsylvania, in some of these key areas. So, I was optimistic, but the point that I think one of our regular listeners, CFS, made back prior to the election is, hey, look, you can't count on it because of the cheating. And with the entire country under those restrictions from COVID and mm-hmm. the efforts by local key Democratic areas to go ahead and allow these, you know, massive voter actions and mail-in ballots and a lot of different issues that really kind of shaped the election. And then of people like Mark Zuckerberg that came out and funded those activities that basically took over control of local elections to private companies and nonprofits. I think that concerns me. And here's the reality. I'm concerned not just because of the Democrats, but also because of Republicans that fall into the same idea that the way you win elections is only through money and corruption and graft and making other people happy. What happened to taking care of the men and women of this nation and the workers and the young people? And we are losing it. We're missing that. There is something wrong in Washington. The corruption is so deep, and it's both sides of the aisle, and it's becoming very obvious. And the only hope is that we can get people that are going to run, that are willing to sacrifice, that are, you know, they're actually doing the right thing for the American people and not doing it for their own self-interest, not doing it because of the money, not doing it to get the influence. And of course, the system itself has to really be looked at of how corrupt things have become in Washington.
But Jimmy, let me ask you a question, though. There are a lot of things that I think will never come to the surface if you want to know the truth. I think Schumer and Pelosi are pretty clever in what they are doing. I mean, to me, it's absolutely amazing that the progressives don't realize that Schumer and Pelosi really are not necessarily their friends. Don't they care whatsoever about the future of the country? Are they so, I mean, is this still a never Trump philosophy still to this day?
So, you know, what I'm starting to see, well, there are a lot of polls that show this as well. Americans who are actually, you know, across the board are giving Trump more credibility. The Republicans have got him at a very high level now of support in the 90s, 95 percentile support. Independents, very strongly supportive of Trump. And then even Democrats are coming over. So the latest polling, you know, and polling's always questionable, but the latest polling showing that if the election were held today, that Trump might win by 8 to 10 points. Mm-hmm. That's a big swing from prior to, you know, in September and October of 2020, where a lot of the media polls are saying Biden would win it by 8 to 10 points. And of course, you know, on election night, it came down to a nail biter with these really just a couple of counties and a lot of really questionable activities. So there is something afoot with understanding what Trump was doing for America and not caring about mean tweets, not caring about, you know, his personality. And when you compare the two, you know, tell me the difference between what's going on with Hunter Biden and the difference between what was going on with Don Jr. Tell me the difference between what's happened with Ukraine, with Russia, with China, with the Biden administration, and the accusations that were made against Trump. There are a lot of things that people are beginning to realize were fraudulent. And of course, the biggest one, the most important one, is the COVID response.
Right.
Trump is still sticking, well, you know, I mobilized all these people for, you know, and all these pharmaceutical companies for the vaccinations, which he's very proud of. The problem is he was played and he didn't understand what was happening underneath. And of course,
right.
I give part of that, you know, Mike Pence failed him there because he was in charge of the task force. And also people like Anthony Fauci and Deborah Birx, you know, some of these people that were, you know, some of them may have initially had some good, you know, ideas of what they were trying to do and they weren't sure what was happening. But the reality has become very clear that pharmaceutical companies are taking advantage of the U.S. government, of the U.S. taxpayer, and they're manipulating information. And there are key people in this government, including Anthony Fauci, the former National Institute of Health director, Francis Collins, that are trying to cover their behinds for actions they took to cover up potential treatments like ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine, and the fact that this started in a lab And there's very clear evidence in emails that are coming out to show that government officials were trying to manipulate this to cover their behinds from mistakes they made that are damaging this nation. And of course, the Democratic Party, Joe Biden, took advantage of that in order to take power. I don't think they can hold on to it very long because the facts are coming out. Thank goodness there is still some minor sense of freedom in America where we can still get information out there.
Jim, let's just take 30 seconds here real quick, and I promise you guys out there, we will be covering this to a much greater depth during our daily editorials this week, probably this week, depending on what happens in the Ukraine, possibly starting as early as Monday. But you got any comments on where this thing with Russia and the Ukraine is going to go, Jim?
Well, I've said it before, Russia needs and wants and will get a land transportation line of communication to Crimea to sustain their Black Sea fleet and keep influence in the region. They do not want the Ukrainian government to become any closer to NATO. That is a red line they're willing to sacrifice. And we know that the Biden administration is incapable of pushing back in any sense of strength, and their credibility is down very, very low. So yes, I do think there is probably going to be some action there. I know a lot of people will disagree with me on this. I believe it is a very dangerous situation, has huge ramifications for the West as Russia moves in, and it undermines actually all the credibility of NATO and the United States. I don't want a war with it, but if you can't negotiate from a position of strength, you will fail. And that's where we are today with what happened in Afghanistan, the Biden regime pullout, the embarrassment there, and of course, foreign policy across the board that's failing with Iran, with Western Europe. It's just awful. It is awful, right?
Yeah. You know, I had a pretty interesting comment from one of my progressive buddies. We were talking a little bit about Afghanistan, and he felt that the United States really was successful in getting people out of Afghanistan. He said, well, what do you expect? And I said, I expected U.S. citizens to be evacuated from Afghanistan. Well, that's an unrealistic expectation, was this guy's comment.
Yeah, not a very bright guy and very uneducated on how that works. We just don't do that.
No.
Typically, we don't do that. And we certainly had the capacity. We actually dominated that country until just a few months before the pullout. And it was embarrassing. It's defeating. It's destructive. But there are still people that think that way.
Yep.
They still believe that. And they listen to the media that perpetuates that. Mm-hmm. But you are beginning to see a break with each of the networks are beginning to say, you know what, this has just gone too far. America is at risk with this administration, and it's beginning to bleed. You know, the administration is beginning to bleed.
I happened to notice an article in the Washington Post that I thought was pretty interesting. The article went along the lines that you were talking about just exactly right now, and if I can find it, I will certainly post it. It was a very interesting article, but I want to say, when you look at Biden's speech, when you look at the way the Vice President of the United States fumbled around this past week when she was given the opportunity to actually look really good, when you look at what happened in Afghanistan, I say bye-bye, progressives. Jimmy, thank you so much. Good to have you with me this week.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.